We are one day closer to the NHL playoffs.
Let's go.
I mean, one day.
Let's go.
One foot in front of the other. We'll get there as a unit. The Canes finished up their regular season last night. A few other teams have to wrap up their seasons. But, you know, as I like to say, the hay is in the barn, right? The work is done. Now it's time to cash in on all that work. If you're the Canes, there's one question you have to answer. What is different about this year? Right? Because you look back at the last five, there's a lot of success. There's Eastern Conference playoffs, Eastern Conference finals. There's victories in the postseason. There's legendary performances. There's so much good, but they're all missing something. Right? The happy ending. They're all missing the Stanley Cup finals. They're missing the Stanley Cup. So, right, I can go full Webster's dictionary on you all if I wanted to. Maybe I will. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? So if you're not trying to be insane, you have to look at it and say, if I want different results, what's different about what you've done? What's different about this team? What's different about the way you've prepared? So answer that question to yourself right now. What is different about this year for the Canes? I'll tell you what I think it is, right? Because when you're looking for your point of optimism, when you're looking at your point of this is what I'm going to cling to, this is what I'm going to hang my hat on, this is what gives me optimism that this year is different, my answer is the top line of forwards. You have to be looking for the thing that makes the team different from last year. I think it is Guentzel, Aho, Jarvis. Jarvis, Aho, Guentzel. Whichever side they find themselves on, that's the line that I think changes things. I've been painting this picture often for this team, which is you're down 2-1. There's 4 minutes left. That line is double shifting. That line's going to be out there for 3 minutes and 20 seconds, and it would have been less time on the bench if they could only find a time to execute the shift. Like it is that obvious. That group will be depended upon to get the goal. I'm not talking about the goals. I'm talking about the goal that has been lacking from the Canes postseason up to this point. In almost every series, heck, I mean, you look at the Panthers series last year, and every game there was just that one goal.
All four of those games in that sweep was a one-goal game.
If not overtime, one goal. Like
first
one.
Two games were OT.
One goal. You could argue one goal in game one changes everything.
Yes.
Let alone one goal per game. One goal in that series changes everything. That top line for the Canes is the best argument for they will get the goal this time and they didn't last time. They're playing well. I mean, how many times can we hear like the opposing team never wants to say, hey, that line is unreal. So they say things like, hey, that top line, now that they have Guentzel, they're buzzing.
Yeah.
How many times can we hear that line is buzzing before you recognize they weren't talking about, even the Aho lines of the past, they weren't talking about it like this. That's the difference. That's what you're hanging your hat on. Those are the guys that I don't believe have an excuse, right? If they don't produce at a wildly high level, those three individuals, what are you going to say? You need a better center? What are you going to say? That second winger needs to stay? That they went and got Jake Guentzel to be the second winger on that lineup. Mm-hmm. There's no excuses. There's no built-in excuses. Top dudes are mostly healthy.
Yeah, for as healthy as you could be at this time of the season.
Depending on what we'll hear about Faust. Even so, and this is not to disrespect Faust, you know, they sat, what, nine guys yesterday, and Faust wasn't one of them. So mm-hmm. That probably says, you know, they're more comfortable dealing with him if he has to miss a couple games than a whole host of others on that lineup.
But there's no, hey, Andrei Svechnikov didn't play in the playoffs last year. So, that's one of our top scorers that's out.
Last 2 years, really.
Yeah, well, actually, three of the last five, when you look at it, actually.
You can't blame Svech not being there, which has been a built-in excuse for a
while. Exactly. There is none of that. I mean, there's actually a point in a couple times in the playoffs in the past where Freddie Anderson missed a chunk of time last year, even though he came back
and played well. Slavin's been banged up.
Slavin's has missed time as well. So, yeah, there's no...
At least going into the postseason.
Going into the postseason, you're fully ready to go. Injuries and stuff will happen, but guess what? You built up the depth. That's the reason why you also got Kuznetsov as well. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason why you have the depth that you have in your organization and you're on your team right now.
So actually, that's a good point. That's more situational than like identity or DNA of the team, right? What's different about this year? I was looking for things that are different, kind of in the DNA and the makeup of the team. But another one might be they're just coming into the year with a little bit better health. Right, part of peaking going into the postseason is managing your roster in a way that everybody can be fresh and healthy going into the postseason, and that's why they've been, you know, rotating through. They've limited some ice time in the last few games for certain guys, and obviously in the last game they decided to sit a whole bunch of them. Rod Brind'Amour was asked about flipping the switch for the playoffs. That's a conversation coaches love to have. Here's Rod Brind'Amour.
Well, you don't flip any switch. That's the key. The key is that you play the same way you've been playing, and you know, again, throw this game out because we didn't have our guys in there. But when you get your full group, how you've been playing and preparing, and that's the game that got you 52 wins or whatever it was, you got to bring that starting whenever it is.
I mean, that's the most obvious answer in the world. Flip the switch. When our guys play, we're on a five-game winning streak. If you flip the switch, we're on now. So if you flipped it, we don't want to do that, right? We don't. If you flip a switch, it's going off because we've been on for the last however many, many games when our guys are available. That's the best news for the Canes. There's nothing – sometimes you do, right? And you watch we all did during COVID, right? The Last Dance. You watch – the NBA playoffs are going on. There are certain teams where it's like, you know, hopefully we find something we haven't been able to find once the postseason gets here, right? Hopefully the ramped up intensity unlocks something within us. That's not the Canes right now. The Canes are not hoping to reach some higher level. They're hoping to continue at the high level. Since the trade deadline, they've been really gosh darn good. We had her confidence meter set all the way to plan the parade from basically the moment that trade deadline took place, and we haven't wavered it. There's no higher place to go than plan the parade. There's no higher option. I guess we could do some kind of a gimmick and make it go, you know, 110% out of 100, but that's impossible. Plan the parade is where they've been. It's where you want them to be on Saturday or Sunday or, heck, next Friday, whenever they end up playing this postseason game, which, by the way, we still don't know. We'll let you know as soon as we do.
Yeah, I know. I know everyone's chomping at the bit, including us here. I was actually talking with Megan LaMontagne, who works over at Mix 101.5. We're just like, we don't know. Because she does the in-arena hosting at PNC. I was like, we just don't know. Like,
I was talking with Adam Gold right before this. We don't know, and... We're like you. We're planning our lives around it also. So, you know, we have things on hold in the same way other fans and everybody else has things on hold. It's you know, there's no way for us to know. But we will pass that along as soon as we do. I have my phone alerts on and everything for matter of fact, as I checked there's a Hurricanes practice update.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's anything. But anytime I see something come out from the Hurricanes, I'm like, is this it?
I mean, the Eastern matchups are set, so we might hear something tonight.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
Maybe this afternoon.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed. Seeing those young guys for the Canes last night.
Yeah, they were good.
I know that, first of all, let's acknowledge it. Loss is a loss. Happens. You could argue the Canes kind of devalued that one a little bit based on their roster decisions.
Yeah, we heard Rob Brind'Amour say to himself, yeah, you throw this one away. We barely had anyone playing.
We should actually. You know what? Let's do good news, bad news. I like playing that game. Good news first or bad news first?
Well, always bad news first, right?
Yeah.
Like
Foss,
we do cons.
Foss got hurt.
Yeah, I know.
That injury is why the other guys weren't playing, but it also is such a bummer to see. Because I mean, if Foss doesn't have that play against the board, doesn't go right into the locker room, they're darn near 100% healthy going into the postseason.
We don't know the extent of his injury, by the way.
We don't.
We just know that. he got tripped, kind of clipped the as he was got knocked out of the ice, hit the net, like hit off the post of the net, and then he went sliding just back first into the boards, pretty much full speed, and it's just like, uh-oh.
You hope it was precautionary last game. It looked bad. Go to the locker room.
Yeah, go to the locker room. Take your skates off.
Yeah, exactly.
You hope that's the case.
You hope that's the case. And it's the most annoying thing about the NHL. We get so little information about injuries. We don't know how long. We don't know what the deal is. But it's still brutal to watch.
Mm-hmm.
With the added caveat that if he were one of the 8 or 9 guys that weren't playing last night and they got hurt, it would be diabolical, right? It's still a bummer. Every injury stinks. It might be a little bit more diabolical if it were somebody different.
And further justifying the reason of these are the reasons why some of these guys sat last night is because, could you imagine if that happened to Jarvis or to Aho? Again,
don't you put that evil on me, Ricky
Bobby. I'm just saying that.
Don't you put that energy into the universe.
But let's be real. I mean, again, not downplaying what Jesper Foss brings to the team. He's an amazing penalty killer. He plays lockdown defense alongside Staal and Martinook when those three guys are together as a line. I'm not trying to downplay that. But we talked about earlier how there are no excuses for this team. Like, guess what? We've seen Andrei Svechnikov hurt in the playoffs and miss time multiple playoffs.
This is not that.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why those Aho, Jarvis, Svech, those guys all sat yesterday.
You want the good news?
Yes.
The good news is the young guys.
Yeah.
Right, with the veterans and a lot of the higher leverage guys sitting out, we were treated particularly early to kind of the Scott Morrow, Bradley Nadeau,
Jackson Blake
show. They had the puck a lot, and they were, you could tell, excited to show what they had at their disposal.
Antsy. By the way, Bradley Nadeau at forward, second most minutes amongst all the forwards yesterday. Scott Morrow, most minutes among all the defense yesterday.
Which was part of their role. Part of their role was exactly what we just said, right? If anyone's going to get hurt, we kind of want it to be you. And we don't want anyone else tired but you. Like, you're going to have to – there's a part of, like, you know, some pitchers when they get the ball on the mound, the manager saying, we need you to win this game. There are some pitchers saying, we need you to pitch 8-plus innings. Like, we need to get our bullpen back. So, you know, whether you give up 2 runs or 8 runs, you're kind of going to pitch into the eighth. They were definitely given that instruction, right? Like, you don't get tired today. You are young 20s. You are fresh out of college. You have – you're going to play a lot. And they did, and there was a lot to like. Rod Brind'Amour was asked about what he saw from the young players last night. And here's what it sounded
like.
Listen,
they did well. You got to give them credit for stepping in, and they were impactful. Could have had some goals. Just it wasn't, you know, nothing went their way. I mean, the one over the goal line just sitting there. I mean, it's just one of those nights for those guys, but they were around it, which was great to see.
I'm going to focus on two guys. Jackson Blake did a lot that people liked. I don't know if he popped as much as the other two, which, by the way, was his very first NHL game, and he was playing in college like a week ago. So this is not a negative on Jackson Blake as much as it is a positive on Morrow and Nadeau. Nadeau was the most surprising. Everybody told us how pro-ready Morrow was and how he was ready to step in and how – you know, this call-up, he might actually play some actual meaningful minutes in the postseason if injuries go in a certain direction, and then they wanted him to sign that early entry – or, sorry, that entry-level deal immediately. So I was kind of expecting him to look good, and he did, and we'll talk about it. Nadeau was the late first-round pick who was a bit undersized, who – it felt more like he was just getting reps, right? He's just, let's get him around the team. This will be good for his development. He looked like a scorer. He had, you know, I want to say the game was like 6 minutes underway when Dennis texted me, Nadeau's got a cannon.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. This,
like, it jumped that early, like it that
it was
obviously
noticeable.
Exactly. It popped. He didn't look undersized to me. He hadn't. And maybe this is a size thing. He had some Jarvis in his game.
Mm-hmm.
Had it like that, the little heavy stick. He knows what he's doing.
The play that Rod described on that soundbite right there where they almost got a goal, the puck's out of the goal line. It was Scott Morrow that took a shot. It was Blake and Nadeau right there in front of the net, and it was sitting right there on the goal line. It just goes like an inch further, it's a goal. And I was like, how cool would that have been if like those three guys combined like on scoring a goal together?
Who gets the puck? Do they chop it in three?
They just got to share it.
First, like, you get
the weekends. Goal scorer gets to keep it first. And then, you know, you pass the puck around.
You get holidays.
Yeah.
I get weekends. He gets weekdays, that kind of deal. If it's all three of theirs, first NHL point.
Yeah, I know. Got to keep the goal. Goal's the one you keep.
Yeah, I agree. Scott Morrow, as a defenseman, he had stick skills.
Oh, yeah. The guy can handle the puck.
He was at times, I think, overdoing it, but I wasn't upset by it because it's like, if you can do it, like, you know, at times I was like, get rid of the puck, get rid of it. Or okay, never mind, in and out. Oh, never mind. All right, bring it back out. Oh, get rid of it. Oh, never mind, made that guy miss. All right, what are we doing here? I don't know if you have a plan, but it's impressive what you're doing.
You learn by doing.
Yeah.
You learn like, okay, I can't make that pass. I can make this one. Oh, mm-hmm. That guy's a lot faster than the guys I was just playing against 2 weeks ago in college. It just learn by doing. Simple as that.
And while he's kind of making those observations, he's just stick handling in the middle of an NHL,
yeah,
like attacking zone. Like it was impressive. Again, it's just one game, but first impressions matter, right? I went into that game thinking, you know, I don't even care if these guys play bad. It's about getting the jitters out. It's about seeing their heart rate. But once they play well,
just getting a taste.
Once they play well, you're almost going like, I wonder if that did accelerate their path to the big league club. I wonder if that did make him go, you know, I planned on having Nadeau in the AHL for a year, but maybe we do give him a more serious look in training camp, right? And maybe we are a bit more comfortable overspending. And when I say overspending, I mean spending a boatload of money on somebody like Jake Guentzel, because you know you're going to have some discounts in the not-too-distant future with very young guys that you're comfortable skating a lot of time. Right? Because if you're paying Guentzel a lot, but then you have somebody like Nadeau on a line skating big minutes and he's making, you know, 700K or whatever it is, that's the balance that you need to fill out a roster. We know there's a bunch of guys on expiring contracts. That's what we talked about with Moreau. Maybe Nadeau played his way into it. And, you know, when they really break down the film, who knows what they end up grading out Jackson Blake. The other thing I'll say for these guys is when it comes to learning Kane's system and culture, and I've said this before in other sports, watching yourself on film is so much more educational than watching someone else on film, right? As a backup in certain sports, you have to get used to watching the starter and trying to learn from their mistakes. But once you're the one up there, it's your jersey. You're the one that made the decision. You're watching film with the assistant coach, and they're not saying, I don't know what he was thinking here. They're going, what were you thinking here? It's so much more educational. So getting in a real NHL game where they can watch film of themselves and learn, that could be the kickstart to get them into the offseason, you know, for lack of a better term, thinking in the Canes language, right? It's not lost on me that all three of those guys were playing NCAA hockey 2 weeks ago. Like, it's not like they've had months to adjust. That was their introduction to the Canes system last night.
Could you imagine just being 18, 19, 20 years old, what these guys are, and you're living in a dorm room, you're playing college mm-hmm. hockey, then all of a sudden you're on the road in like Boston and St. Louis and all these other places, Chicago, like you're playing in the United Center, these places, and you're like, I'm now in the NHL. Like, I was literally just getting like food from the dining hall like 2 weeks ago. You know, I was hanging out at the student union before we had to go play our NCAA tournament game wherever we were playing. That's the turnaround for these guys. It literally is that quick.
And
I bet their stuff is still in their dorm.
Maybe.
Have you moved out yet? Did you have a chance?
And you just got a pass on a breakout from like Burns, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I played with that guy in you know, NHL 2K7 or whatever, whatever video game. Like, we're not even talking about played with, like, in 2023. We're talking about, like, Burns been around for a while. I was 8 years old playing video games using Brent Burns.
It's crazy to think about that. That's where these guys were just 2 weeks ago. I mean, there no other sport really is like that.
And to step into that event and play well.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been, like, that's what I'm saying. It's not lost on me that it would have been completely acceptable if it looked like and felt like their heads were spinning. Right? There's, this is another, I don't know why defensive coordinators in football have a lot of sayings. One of them that our defensive coordinator in college had was, there's a fine line between your head being on a swivel and your head spinning.
Yeah.
Right? Head on a swivel means you know what you're looking for. You're protecting yourself. You know, when you look left and right, it's for a reason. You're looking at the receiver. You're looking at the quarterback. You're finding the guy trying to block you. Head spinning means your head is snapping left and right, because you don't know what's going on, and you're just trying to see everything at the same time. There's a fine line between your head being on a swivel and your head spinning. Their heads were on a swivel last night. They knew what they were looking for. They knew what they were looking at. The moment wasn't too big for them. Their heads were not spinning. I think, you know, as much as you can off of one game, future is bright, right? As much as you can say that off of one game, the future is bright. Those three guys look like they belong. Now, you look at them and you say, you look like you belonged. Now get out and let the real guys come in here and go try to win a cup. You get your name on the cup if they pull it off. So be their biggest fans.
That's
and help
true.
Them out in practice.
That's true.
But also blend in with the wallpaper, right? Your time will come. It's their time right now.